So Mark chapter 4, and we look at both those parables and the one that we read earlier as well. Listen. No, really listen to Jesus. That's what today's Bible reading is all about, listening to Jesus. It's not necessarily an easy thing to do. We're so busy listening to other things. Other sounds and voices block him out, or at least his voice gets slightly muffled. How often do we see people out walking with headphones in? It used to be those discreet little earplugs, which everyone had, but now the fashion is for the larger headphones, which cover the ear, so you can't really miss them. But either way, the wearer cannot hear outside voices or even the traffic. Or how often do we see people reading their phones as they walk along, reading a newspaper on their phones perhaps, or watching the news there, or listening to the radio when they're out and about? There's so much information available to us, so much to listen to and to distract us. Well, Jesus is calling us to listen to him, which not everyone is willing to do, of course. For some, the difficulty in that is apathy. They presume to know what he has to say and that it is rather boring. For others, the difficulty is hostility. They believe Jesus' message is offensive, so they tune out and change channels. But Jesus says, no, listen. He wants us to give him our full attention. Listen. He says it in verse 3, chapter 4, verse 3. That's back a page in 1005. So that's verse 3. He also says it in verse 9. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear, said Jesus. Listen to what he has to say. He says exactly the same thing back over the page in verse 23. And also in verse 24, consider carefully what you hear. So listen, consider carefully what you hear. Listen to me. Jesus says it so many times in these parables. He's determined to get his broadcast through to us. And you know, it's neither boring nor offensive. In fact, if we don't think that what Jesus has to say is the best news ever, we have not understood it. We really should listen to him, because Jesus is God's King. He has all power and authority. In his first three chapters, which we've been reading since the start of September, Mark has been writing about the authority of Jesus, the pure and perfect authority of Jesus. And we've seen already in Mark that Jesus has authority over sickness. He could cure it. He has authority over evil. He could drive it away. He has authority over sin. He could forgive it. He has authority over men. He calls them, and immediately they follow. In fact, Mark begins his gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, remember, by telling us that Jesus has the authority of a king, a ruler. He is the Christ, the specially anointed king, the Son of God. And then Mark goes on to prove in chapters 1 through to 3 that Jesus can give us a world without sickness or sin or evil. He's that much a king. So now, having learned all that from Mark, we move into chapter 4, and Jesus says with authority, listen, you must listen to me. I'm going to teach you about God's kingdom. The kingdom of God. And Jesus teaches about the kingdom of God using parables. In this case, parables about seeds. We'll look at the last two parables first, please. And here's my first heading coming up, how the kingdom comes secretly. So the growing seed and the mustard seed, the ones that I've just read towards the end of chapter 4. Remember, they are about the kingdom, as all the parables are in chapter 4. How does God's kingdom come? Well, look down at verse 26, please. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." So Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is coming like a growing seed. It spreads from a small, tiny, but growing seed, one that germinates and grows and then matures. But it does all of that gradually, and in a way that the farmer does not really understand. He simply leaves it to continue growing by itself, day in, day out. It grows secretly in the ground, hidden, and gradually, little by little. And God's kingdom, says Jesus, is similar. It grows secretly. To the outside world, to the unbeliever, it's hard to see the kingdom. The days go by, the seasons go by, and it's hard to see any change. But Jesus does not want us to be deceived by the apparent sameness of every day. We're not to think that God has gone away or that he's forgotten about his kingdom just because to us, one day runs into the next and they all appear somewhat the same. No, the kingdom is quietly and gradually growing. And it's not coming in a particularly spectacular way or in a political way that can be seen. The king's rule is not a political rule, but rather it just comes quietly into people's hearts and lives as they respond to Jesus and the gospel. However, although all this happens quietly, well, there will come a day for the revealing of the kingdom. Although the good soil only very gradually produces the corn, one day there will be a harvest, verse 29. And then the ordinariness of our daily lives will dramatically change because the reaper will be frantically active, putting in the sickle, verse 29. And so the message of this short little parable is, be prepared for the harvest. Be prepared for the climax of the coming kingdom. It sometimes appears as though it will never come. The seed just grows gradually, but one day the crop will be ready for the harvest. And that's one lesson about the kingdom, the parable of the quietly growing seed. It's then the climax of the kingdom that Jesus' next parable is concerned with. And again, if you would look down at verse 30, please, with me this time, the parable of the mustard seed. Verse 30. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." So here again, in Jesus' parables, the kingdom of God is like a growing seed. But this time, Jesus is contrasting the sizes of the seed and then of the final plant. So the tiniest of seeds, the mustard seed, becomes the largest of plants. And its branches turn out to be so large that the birds can even come and nest in them. Amazing when you think of it, the change that has come about. And in Christian terms, the seed of the kingdom really did start off tiny. In fact, only Jesus and his band of 12 followers were in the kingdom, maybe one or two others. But as the years went by and the word spread, well, the kingdom became large, growing beyond the Jewish nation to include many Gentiles. The Gentile birds came and nested in the large tree. His kingdom grows and grows and grows. I read recently that currently in Africa, there are 1,200 new churches starting per month, and many of them Anglican like us. It's the fastest spreading growth of the church since the days of the apostles. It's growing and growing and growing, in Africa at least. So even though when Jesus first told these parables, they seemed highly unlikely to be fulfilled, amazingly, they have come to pass. The smallest seed in the world has become the largest of plants. The kingdom of God has become enormous, just as Jesus said it would. Well, let's move on. How has the kingdom grown so large? What method has Jesus used to plant and to cultivate the seed that will grow throughout the world? Well, to find out, we have to go back to the start of the chapter and the parable of the sower. This is my second point, which is where we discover that the kingdom comes, surprisingly perhaps, through gospel preaching and teaching, through the word. And this is certainly what Jesus himself did as the ultimate sower. He preached and he taught. But it's also what we are called to do in our own way, in our own style. We're to share and to communicate the word of God. It's why the emphasis in my ministry is always on teaching the Bible, because of parables like this one. Well, look at the start of chapter 4, please, to see how Mark emphasizes Jesus the teacher. Verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed." Or in other words, someone went out to teach. Mark underlines that again and again in these first couple of verses of chapter 4. And so we see that throughout Mark's gospel, Jesus is characteristically described as a teacher. So he's not first and foremost a miracle worker. He's primarily a great teacher, a sower of the seed. And it's always this sowing of the seed which leads to an abundant harvest. In fact, that's the only way that the church does reap a true harvest. And this is Jesus' point as he begins his parable, which is the first of all his parables. Note, the seed must be sown, or the word must be preached, the truth must be taught. And we have to get that. And this is the way the kingdom comes into our lives. And I'm sure you know this in your own experience. The seed is planted in our hearts as we listen, as we hear the word, the good news of Jesus coming, of his death for our sins, of his rising again. Someone had to plant that seed in you. And as that seed is planted, we begin to believe in Jesus, to believe in the gospel. And when we do that, we're actually in the process of entering the kingdom. So it's a very personal thing. In fact, it happens secretly and inwardly, just as those other parables at the end of the chapter would lead us to expect. So the response that Jesus wants from us is obvious. He wants us to hear his message, which is what he says there at the start and at the end of this parable of the sower. Verse 3 at the start and verse 9, listen. Listen then if you have ears. In other words, be like good soil. Open your heart. Let your heart be like good soil to the seed. Open your ears to the word. Our part is to hear, to really listen, and to try and not let the word of the gospel just wash over us. It will for some people, verse 12, but we have to try and listen. Of course, it's also then our part to do some sowing, because like the good soil, when we hear the word, we receive it, and then we bear fruit. And we let the word get deep down into the soil. We let it put down its roots into our hearts and lives, changing our lives and enabling us to pollinate others with the seed as we spread the word of the kingdom. Jesus' whole business was sharing the word. And this is the business that he wants us to be involved in too, because this is the business of the kingdom. We can see his point here easily, if you just glance down to verse 13, please. Bottom of page 1005, verse 13. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word," and so on. And Jesus is saying, get this teaching wrong, get this parable wrong, and you won't understand what I'm doing at all. And even Christians have to remind themselves about this all the time. Otherwise, we'll get distracted by other things, other worthy causes. We'll get distracted by good things, but which will take us away from the word. I certainly need that reminder here. All sorts of stuff comes across my desk each week from outside the parish, demands on the church and on me from worthy causes. But we must prioritize sowing the seed. The seed is the word. Verse 14. So if you regard yourself as a Christian in our church, you should want to see the kingdom grow. And if so, you should weigh up if what you are doing is to promote the work of the word. So if you're on the vestry and you're deciding where the money goes, is it to support the spread of the word throughout the world? Is it? If you're in the Mothers Union or Impact or the Senior Citizens Group or any of the groups, are you making the sowing of the seed your top priority? Are you? If you're working with young people or children, is the priority of the growth of the kingdom teaching the word? It's all too easy to be distracted by other worthy causes, and they are often worthy. And sometimes you can use them to connect with people and then tell them the gospel. But on their own, they cannot be our priority. That must be the sowing of the seed, in the hope that some falls on good soil. Kingdom comes as the word is spread, as it is taught and believed. However, as the word is spread, and as the sower does his sowing, well, not all the seed falls on fertile soil. In fact, Jesus seems to tell this famous parable of the sower by saying that 3/4 of the seed will find unproductive ground. So it could be stony or thorny or along the path. A lot of it, according to the parable, seems to be wasted. That's the implication. And we probably know this parable so well that we don't need to spend too long on this, but it's interesting that Jesus himself met all these different types of poor soil. So, for example, he met the scribes and the religious leaders who, like the path, had no room at all for the seed. They rejected Jesus' message outright. They didn't even give it a chance. They were like the path. And then he met the sick, clamoring for his attention, many of whom, like the stony ground, did not really want to follow any distance. Some of them, after they'd had their sickness cured, just seemed to have lost interest. And then he met the huge crowds, looking for a political savior, a political messiah. But like the thorny bushes which choke the seed, the crowds were too interested in this world, too interested in their own politics, for example. They were choked by the world and finally deserted him. So that in the end, we're just left really with Jesus and the disciples. Not only the 12, but not that many more. A handful of good soil, even though so much seed was scattered. And today, of course, we see the same sort of responses to the word. There will be those who have heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, but who do not give him a proper hearing. I mean, in this world, who hasn't heard of Jesus? But so many just dismiss him as utterly irrelevant. They're like the path. The seed just bounces off them. They refuse to have anything to do with him, and we meet them every day. And then there are also those who make a superficial decision about Jesus. They've got enthusiasm initially. That doesn't really last because they've got no roots. They're like the stony ground. And after making some sort of response to him, perhaps like confirmation or something, well, they're never seen again. Then there are some in whom the seed goes a little deeper. They make a profession of faith, perhaps, get off to a good start. But as time goes on, well, Jesus Christ just becomes less and less significant to them. And they become preoccupied with other things. In youth, perhaps, it's with school or sport. In midlife, perhaps with family or career. In old age, perhaps it's with health or the garden. They're like thorny ground, A true faith is choked by what's going on in the rest of their lives. The essence of Jesus' parable is this message: continue to listen to him. Continue to hear him. Because the danger is that we stop listening. That having begun well, after a period of time, our hearing becomes defective. The word gets choked like the thorny ground. Its roots become loose like the stony ground. Have you forgotten the importance of the word for you? Are you making time for it every day to read it? Or on a Sunday to listen to its teaching? Is that your main concern in life? It's wrong to dismiss the word as insignificant. It may be just a tiny seed, but it can grow and flourish. And if we care for it, it will produce a crop, which is what Jesus asks from us, from his people. But if we don't prioritize the word in our lives, the new life of the kingdom will simply be choked out. Other things will squeeze it out, as if it's been strangled by thorny plants, and there'll be no crop, no kingdom life left in us. Please let the seed grow in your life. And so just to sum up, we've looked briefly this morning at this little cluster of Jesus' parables, and we've seen that the kingdom of God can grow in us like a secretly growing seed. It grows quietly until it spreads to others and climaxes in a huge plant with Christians from all over the world part of it. And we've also seen that this kingdom comes only as the word is spread. It's the church's job to sow the seed, and that goes for all Christians. We're not to be distracted by other worthy causes, but we're to continue to sow, continue to listen, ensuring that the word of God has good soil to root in.